Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon was supposed to be the gospel lesson, but we just read James 2 verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. This is the text. You may be seated. James 2:10. I love that passage. You know why I love that passage? You're going to not like it at all. James 2:10, quoting an older version, whoever keeps the whole law and fails at just one point has become guilty of all. You know what that means? Let me give you an illustration. First off, old illustration, it has to do with the windshield on your car. Time was, you're driving along the road and a truck kicks up a stone that goes ping off your windshield, and at the end of your driving for that day, you look and there's this little crack. You know, you remember, it's going to start spreading and spider webbing all over the whole windshield until they're warning you, you cannot keep driving that like that, because one of these days you're going to be driving down the road and pop, the whole thing's going to go. So you got this little crack in your windshield. How much of your windshield is broken? All of it. All of it. James 2 verse 10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. Okay? So, have you ever had a thought that you shouldn't have had? Murderer. What? How'd that happen? He just had a thought he shouldn't have had. I call him a murderer, huh? James 2:10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. It's sickening. Have you ever not done your homework when you were told to? Adulterer. What? She's not even married. Ah! How do we get from the one to the other? Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. Hey, Kevin, you ever break the speed limit? Thief. What? Where'd that come from? Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. You know, and I do this with confirmation classes, and about the third question, they start looking at me and thinking, Pastor, have you ever? And they're ready with a name for me. Okay. Blasphemer? What? So, wow. Well, if that's the case, who can be saved? Under that scheme, no one. I want you to consider something else. This is James. James writing the letter. Who's James's brother? Jesus, as in, James, can't you be more like your brother Jesus? Think of growing up like that. Yeesh. So he knows what it's like to be held to a standard that you can't do. You can't do it at all. You can't. You just can't. And so, if you come to church thinking, I'm going to improve myself, I'm going to be better at this stuff, and, how about we... In church, we're going to develop slightly improved sinners, and we're going to try and pass that off to God. Not going to work. Whoever keeps the law, whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. Every rule, every regulation, every commandment, every moral command that God ever gave, if you broke one little part, the whole thing's shattered. And the law of God can rightly point a finger at you and accuse you of any of those other sins. Doesn't matter. You can say, "Thought I read through the Ten Commandments and I never actually shot a man dead." Doesn't matter. You broke the speed limit. What? Murderer. And there we are under the law of God, and there's no escape in this pattern of the law of God. So, hint, don't try and be saved and get to heaven by keeping the commandments. It is not going to work. James lets you know that. The guy who had to grow up with Jesus, who perfectly kept the Ten Commandments, right? Okay. So what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? Not a darn thing we can do. We're all condemned, condemned, condemned. So you come to church and you try and come to church so you can leave church a better person. That's not the idea. What we have in mind in coming to church is not improving the sinner, but rather this is God's plan. Kill the sinner. And then give the resurrection. And if you doubt that, what do we do at the beginning of the service? We confess sins. That we are sinful. Oh, by the way, there's a phrase comes out of the older hymnals. It talks about, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," which I find strangely kind of a miss on that, because I'm not a poor, miserable sinner. I'm very good at sinning. There's no miserable about doing these things. I do them very well. We come to church and we confess our sins so that God can kill off the sinner and then raise us up again. You might remember it, those of you who've been through confirmation, baptism. What does baptism signify or teach? That the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. That's the plan. Drown him, kill him off. And again, a new man daily emerge and arise who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's second part of God's plan. So here comes Jesus into the world. How's he going to do this? How's he going to do this with taking sinners, kill them off, and raise them up? First of all, he's going to be born. Doesn't he realize what he's getting into? This mess of a human race? Yes, he does. That's why he's come. Doesn't he realize what is in our souls and the mess that we've made of everything? Doesn't he realize that inside we are hopelessly corrupted by sin? And there is, from Genesis, none that does good, no, not one. From the prophets, from other parts of the Old Testament, the heart is deceitful above all things. Doesn't he realize that? That's why he's coming into the world. And then we have to pick up a little something from the sermon. Because they bring the deaf man to Jesus. The deaf man, think about that. Here's a guy who cannot hear the words of Jesus. They're bringing him to Jesus. Great picture for all of us. He becomes a picture of the whole human race. The human race that because of sin cannot hear the word of God, cannot understand it correctly, lives in the silence of there being no promises from God that we correctly understand. Adam and Eve eat the fruit and heaven's cut off and they are blind and deaf to all of the good spiritual things. So they bring the deaf man to Jesus. And he is the one who's going to bring the word of God to that man. Really? Do you remember the Christmas carol? Second verse of What Child Is This? Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. How does that go? The silent word is pleading. Coming into our human race, he begins the pleading, the praying for us. Silently there. And they bring a deaf man to Jesus. First thing he does, fingers in the ears. That's intrusive. Whoa. Right in your face. Second thing, on his tongue. What? Which at that point I'm reminded of something that happened when I was still not married, living at home, my parents' house. Walk into my brother's room one day and he's making chessmen. He decided to take up clay modeling. So that evening he's making pawns. And he's talking to the pawns and answering for them. But I don't want to be a pawn. Can I be something else? No. And this goes on for a little while, and then he picks up the pawn and pops it in his mouth. Walks around. Got it nice and moist. Pulls it back out. Yeah, you need water to keep molding the clay, right? So he was moist. What? What are you doing? Comes up with this great line that years later, as a pastor, I remember this great line and say, I'm using this in a sermon. He says to me, you got to put something of yourself into your work. What does God do? You got to put something of yourself into your work. What does he put into his work? He puts his whole self in. Comes to be born for us to carry the burdens of this corrupt human nature. To take the suffering. To take the sin. To carry the sin on himself, taking it to the cross. You've got to put something of yourself into your work. There at the cross, he goes to that place of darkness where you look around and you look for nice things in the world to see as evidence of the love of God. Nope, it's not there. It's darkness. There at the cross where Jesus, having the word and the promises of God always in his mind and in his heart, goes to the cross where Is there a word and promise from God there? No. That's cut off. And it's silent. And he goes to that place for us, because that's where we seem to dwell, is in that place where we're separated from God. And we know that we are in a place that isn't good, separated from God. He comes to us there, to meet us there, to bring the Word of God to our darkness and our silence, so that we can have the words and promises of God restored to us, and we can be made once again to be His. And that's the pattern. The dying and rising in our confession. Because we confess that we are completely broken. And then God says, and what I do is I forgive your sins in Jesus. In baptism, where we say, here is a dying in the waters. And God says, yep, that's right. And a rising to new life. And you've got to put something of yourself into your work. And then there's the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives us Himself, His body, with the dying and rising and the all of the new life, with all of the power of Easter, puts it on your tongue and puts something of Himself into His work. And with His blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So you drink forgiveness of sins. And this just completely runs right over any idea of we're here at church to slowly improve. We're here at church because God has called us to a weekly dying and rising, because we have Easter that He has to give us week after week after week. But back to the deaf man. Jesus enters into so much of our experience that there is another passage from Isaiah, not the one we read today, but another passage, where God says about Jesus, He says, who is blind like my servant, or so deaf as my messenger whom I send? It's about Jesus, who comes to share in all of what it means to be apart from God and bring the words and promises of God to our place of being separated from God, so that we know there is no place where His word cannot reach. There is no part of our life where He is not going to bring His promises to bear. There is no darkness in the soul where He is not going to come with His healing mercy. And there is no sinner so far from Him that He is not going to reach out for them. Just ask one of the other guys in that place of darkness, the thief next to Jesus, who Jesus reached out to with the words and promises of God and brought him into life, and promised him eternal life. Because that's what He does. This is our Savior. And He is good. In Jesus' name, amen.